Go vote on our Twitter poll at underscore Adam Crowley, brought to you by PGA Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PGA.com. Which of the Steelers draft picks did you like the best? Want to take a guess at mine, Dorn? Take a stab at it?
Nope.
Country Roads bringing him home. Zach Frazier. My ideal draft happened, man. It really did.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been okay with JPJ at 51. I just wanted them to get a center in round two. I thought that's how the value shook out. It's why I didn't like Graham Barton in the first round, even though the Steelers said he was a quote-unquote generational talent. If they'd have drafted a center in the first round, you wouldn't have got a great tackle in the second round. But you could get a good center in the second round while picking a tackle in the first round. And
Bang. They did just that.
Let's go. Now, none of these guys have suited up for the black and gold yet, and there will be players in this class that will disappoint, and there will be players in this class where you go, oh, actually wound up being better than I thought. But universally right now, the Steelers are being praised for their draft. And we bring in a local guy, our friend, Steelers insider Mark Cabali from The Athletic to discuss. Mark, how you doing today, pal?
Good, fellas. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Oh, I am over the moon right now with what the Steelers did in the 2024 NFL draft. All right, full 30,000-foot view from you, Mark, before we get into the specifics, your thoughts on the draft?
Oh, spectacular. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better, right? You'd be able to balance need, value, wants, guys that can help right away, not overpaying, not having to give up draft picks to be able to get them. You got play now, guys. I mean, I can't see it breaking any better than it did right now. I mean, obviously, we'll have to see how these guys perform. But right now, I mean, I can't. It's, if you're being down on this draft in any way, you're just a hater. Is that what they say nowadays?
That is what they say. Mark, I'll let Crowley, obviously, you know, dance in his glory and ask you the question and the details about Zach Frazier. So I'm going to go Roman Wilson, receiver out of Michigan, 4'3 guy, smaller, tough receiver. A lot of highlights and clips out there of him just pancaking guys, pancaking corners, likes the block. Your initial thoughts whenever he was picked by the Pittsburgh Steelers, that was another position of need. But can he be a number two as well?
I don't know. I mean, you ask Mike Tomlin, and he poo-poos at the numbers of 1, 2, and 3. They all have to do everything. But I understand what you're saying of being that guy. But I think, I mean, very darn close. If he's not a two, he's going to be in that position to be able to succeed like that. This is a guy that can, you know, does a lot of his damage between the numbers and a lot of his damage between the numbers down the field and blocking. And by all accounts, he's a great human as well. I mean, this is a guy that I think many people thought he was going to go into the second round. To be able to get him into the third round is great. A lot of his stuff does translate into, you know, being successful early. I mean, you don't have to be know the playbook to be able to block somebody in a running game very well, right? You don't have to know a lot to be able to catch the ball for across the middle and tough your way to some yards here. I mean, I think they still need definite help at that position, and I don't know where that help comes from because I don't think you can – really rely on, you know, the Van Jeffersons, Quez Watkins of the world. But by all accounts, Roman Wilson, another guy that's just a Steeler type of guy that you were looking for in that slot who can block and help the run game. It all goes back to that, right? Everybody that they took somehow, at least offensively, will somehow have a part in helping them run the ball.
I do want to talk about the draft a little bit more, Mark, but do you think, you just mentioned wide receiver, do you think they're still poking around trying to find that number two, trying to find a dance partner on a trade here?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, they got a little bit more leeway right now where they don't have to make the splash move or pay too much for it, but there has to be somebody out there. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be right now. I mean, it could be a guy that a team can dump September 1st. It could be somebody who's still out there right now, but I think they're going to definitely look to upgrade that roster. I mean, like I said, there's a handful of guys right there that you don't really feel too comfortable with. It doesn't mean that they can't do it, but I mean, I don't want to go in there hoping a rookie picks up the offensive game book quickly and able to help out and have guys like, you know, Calvin Austin, who could be decent. I mean, but he's a very similar position to what Roman Wilson does. But, yeah, I think they are definitely snooping around. And if something presents themselves, I don't think they would hesitate to go out and get somebody.
How long will it take for Peyton Wilson to be the starter next to Patrick Queen?
I don't think so this year. I mean, I think I really like what Landon Roberts did last year. He's obviously a veteran. He was very quickly became a leader in that locker room, and he played pretty well. Tough guy mentality. I think he's a perfect, really, complement to what Patrick Queen does. Now, I can see Peyton Wilson. I keep wanting to call him Peyton Hillis.
I know, man.
I'm thinking, I pause and think, okay, Wilson. They're all
and then
Wilson.
There's too many Wilsons now. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, Wilson. So I'm curious to see him eye-to-eye here next weekend to see how it translates from tape into, you know, what you really see. You can really see in settings like rookie minicamp of how fast this guy might be and how tough he is. What a tough guy. What a fast guy. A guy sideline to sideline. Let's hope he's like me, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I don't have an ACL. I know.
That's
Crowley,
what I've been
you
saying.
Don't have an, no, I don't think you have much gray matter between the eyes, but I'm sure you have a couple between the ears, but I'm pretty sure you got some ACLs. I mean, is that even possible not to have ACLs? There has to be some kind of loophole here.
Well, Hines Ward didn't have one, right? Problem. And then DeJuan Blair had the same kind of deal.
But there has to be an ACL there. I mean, just not might be functional, right?
I don't know. People are born without arms. People are born all kinds of different ways, Mark. Why are you not accepting of people who are ACL-less?
I just don't accept the terms of does not have an ACL. Let's take an MRI. Wait, something's missing.
Yeah, Dr. Mark Cabali weighing in. We really appreciate your thoughts in the medical field, Mark. Okay, so you've got Fautanu, who you take 20th overall. You've got Frazier, who you take 51st overall. Are both guys going to be day one starters?
Ooh, I mean, Frazier, absolutely, right? I mean, Fautanu, you would imagine so. I mean, I don't think – I mean, I think they'll go through the old dog and pony show here and put Dan Moore out there. But there's a difference, I think, between what happened last year and what happened today. First of all, Dan Moore's in the final year of his deal. So, I mean, he's going to be gone one way or another. So you better get this guy acclimated. Plus, this is – Fautanu's the guy that should have went in the, you know, maybe top 10, top 12 pick. And he has a whole bunch of experience attached to him. So I would be quite stunned if either one of those guys don't start immediately. I mean, it's just been like almost a changing of the guard with rookie guys starting. I mean, what was that, 2-3 years ago? You had three from the starting class, from the rookie class starting with Freiermuth, Kendrick Green, and somebody else I can't quite remember. But
Najee Harris.
Yeah, Najee Harris. And then you had I think it was between 2000, what was that? Between 2001 and 2014, no rookie actually started for the Steelers, at least on defense. But I could see these guys starting right away. I could see Roman Wilson starting right away. I could see Peyton Wilson at least having a special teams role right away. And maybe they hold off on McCormick and wait to see what happens at guard here in a year from now and have him ready to be plug and play in a year now. But you're looking, I think, at least three day one starters with a fourth guy, a potential to at least contribute this year.
Are they going to sign somebody at corner that is still out there, or maybe even Cam Sutton? What should they do at that position? Or are you comfortable and are they comfortable potentially of going into the season with what they have in Dante Jackson and Joey Porter Jr.?
I think they're comfortable with Dante Jackson and Joey Porter Jr., but, I mean, injuries happen. I mean, you can't go in with two guys and a bunch of I don't knows at that point. So that's why I think they will definitely upgrade there. Who knows who it could be? I mean, Cam Sutton, I mean, I guess he could be the guy. I mean, let me tell you something. Cam Sutton, his years here, I mean, nothing but a good guy, good locker room guy. Who knows what he got caught up with outside the facility. And, you know, sometimes you're not privy to all that stuff of what's behind the scenes and all. But, you know, let me tell you something. if they sign Cam Sutton, it's one person's choice, and that's Art Rooney. I mean, bottom line, let's not paint it any other way. If Art Rooney says yes, they would sign him. If Art Rooney says no, they don't sign him. And how Art has basically flipped the switch a little bit of the win now, win of all costs. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised, right? I mean, let's vet everything, make sure everything fits into place. This is a guy that wanted to come back last year and decided to go to Detroit because of family reasons. And got paid $10 million a season for it. Like I said, everything I've my interactions with him have been great. Maybe he just got caught up into something. But if you vet everything, Art probably would then sign off on it. Why not? You could probably get him on the cheap to play a number of positions, including the slot position where you need it.
Mark, we appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks a lot for jumping on.
All right. Go check out those ACLs there, Crowley. I'm guessing you have one.
Goodbye. Mark Aboli from The Athletic. Really weird thing just happened, too, while we're talking to Mark. Our big boss, like the big boss, like our market manager just popped in here. And here's why. Between segments, I went down to find a coffee that I had left in the Keurig.
Uh-huh.
It exploded. It exploded everywhere.
What, the Keurig?
The Keurig pot. Pod? What do they call it? Pod? Yeah. It exploded everywhere. There's coffee grinds everywhere. He just came in. So I've been spending 15 minutes trying to clean this coffee
thing.
And it
was your fault?
Well, it wasn't my fault. It was my coffee. I mean, I think it was the Keurig itself's fault. I know how to use the Keurig.
You put it in there and left it and then exploded, so it is your fault. So you did
wrong. No.
And then
no.
He came in here. He probably knew it was probably you. That's why he came in here was like, I just cleaned up your mess.
He came in here knowing there was a mess, and he knows that we are two of the only like six people in here at the time, and he probably went to the other place. Oh, we don't know what happened. I know it was my coffee, but I did it the way I always do it. I put the pot in, I pulled the thing down, I hit a button, it goes, and then the coffee's made. But I go back and there's grinds everywhere. It's soaking wet. I didn't change my tune. I did what I always do. It's
this
not my
fishy.
Fault.
This
no,
is fishy.
It's like a running back after 30. Eventually, that coffee pot was going to kick the bucket, and it just so happened it was my coffee.
Why is it never your fault?
I had nothing. It wasn't my fault. I pushed the thing down. I hit a button. The thing explodes everywhere. What am I supposed to do?
He just came in again. Look.
He's all ticked off. I know. It was going to be someone's. It just so happened to be mine. And actually, I was making a cup of coffee for Callis because he's never had coffee before, and he said he wanted.
Oh, so now you don't Callis under the bus? What?
I'm pretty sure our boss is in here just dropping expletives too. We're turning off our mics. He's like, I don't care, Caboli's on. I'm gonna come to buy on this place. I'll say whatever I want. Now I'm gonna have to go. I'm gonna
apologize.
I'm gonna have to go deal with it.
He knew
it
was you, too. That's a funny thing. Or he wouldn't have popped in. He knew it was you.
How'd you find a way to link me into that, too? That's just very kind of you.
Of course.
What's the last thing I said to you before we hopped on the air? I said, I'm making you your first cup of coffee ever. And lo and behold, I'm in the doghouse. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up next, we'll react to some of what Mark had to say. And, dude, Mike Tomlin was on the NFL Network, and he said something, and it made me believe something that I hadn't previously believed. Wait until you hear this from the head ball coach. All right, so Mark Aboli joined us in the last segment, and he said that Cam Sutton does remain a possibility for the Steelers, but he thinks it'll just be an Art Rooney the second decision. That you'll see Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan, Andy Weidel, all the powers that be. They've talked to him. They're going to kind of suss that out, to use a youngster's term, Doran, a Gen Z term. And then Art Rooney II would be the one who ultimately gets to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are we doing here? If you think he can help the football team and you can get him on the cheap, which presumably you would be able to, and Art Rooney II has used the term urgency all offseason, you want to win now. I don't know why you wouldn't do it.
Well, he doesn't want to smear the brand.
Oh, then don't have Ben be your quarterback for 17 years.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, Antonio Brown at wide receiver, Martavis Bryant with the drugs. Like, do you want to win or do you not want to win?
Yeah, but those guys were drafted here.
Yep, that does make a difference. Well, you know, so was Cam Sutton.
As Cam Sutton was, but he left, and now you're thinking about bringing him back. That potentially has something that is
Well, and the only reason you'd be able to get him back is because he was released from his previous stop because of what he was accused of doing.
This is, yeah.
If he was going to have to deal with jail time, then I would say, obviously, no.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to know him better than anybody else, and it is a position of need. Though I will say, and we're going to talk to West Virginia head coach Neil Brown at 9:35, I do think Beanie Bishop, their undrafted guy, I think he's got a shot to make this team, man. I really do. He's not big. He's 5'9". That's the reason why he was undrafted, because he's a ball player now. He had 20 passes defended this year. He had 4 interceptions. It should have been like 10 picks.
Mm-hmm.
Just watching every single snap this guy took. He dropped some, especially in the Penn State game where he dropped 2. But he affects the football. He's good in press man. He's good in zone. They don't currently have a real slot option on the roster. I think he's got a good shot to make the team. And maybe they view it that way too. We'll see. I'm a little amped up this segment. We had our big boss come in here and tell me that I broke the coffee machine, which I, yeah, I kind of did.
See? Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did. And then we had Susie Cool hiding behind the door, and she leapt out and screamed boo, and it terrified me to my inner core.
Yeah, you jumped.
And Callis really was laughing like a hyena. And you said that I do have ACLs because of how high I was able to jump.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Callis, that didn't make it onto the video stream, right, because we didn't have the angle of it?
We didn't hear what you said, which I wish we
could put
that online.
That would get me fired.
I think we could see you leap into the corner by your chair.
I can't believe you let her scare you like that, though.
It's not the diminutive nature of the person doing the scaring. It's the surprise. Like, you are physically a more threatening human being than Susie Cool from our AM station is, obviously. But I didn't know she was there.
Let me ask you this, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's all about anticipation, too. What threat could you possibly anticipate that could make you that frightened walking through that door?
If I was a player in Madden, my anticipation / awareness would be like a 35. I've got none. I'm focused on the next segment, the next read. We're trying to get ratings over here. We're trying to tell people about the NFL draft. I ain't got time for Susie Cool jumping out of the woodwork.
You're 100% overanalyzing. Did I break the coffee pot? Like, is my boss mad at me? Is he mad? Because he had to clean it up, and I didn't clean it up. And I didn't. I forgot my coffee. But did I actually break it? Or was it? You know, this is Callis' fault, really, actually, because I was going to make a cup of coffee for Callis. But is the boss mad at me? And then you come in and get scared. Okay, I can see that. That's you, to the T.
Slightly neurotic?
A little bit.
A little bit. Who needs a restart? Brought to you by Restart IT Services. Expect more from your IT service provider. Get more from Restart. Visit callrestart.com. Me. I need a restart. Mm-hmm. You need to unplug me and plug me back in. Mike Tomlin was on the NFL Network after the Steelers finished up their draft, and he was asked, of course, about Russell Wilson v. Justin Fields. And for the first time, Doran, he's got me feeling a certain way.
Quarterbacks have taken a lot of headlines in the offseason. How do you envision this working, playing out as you make those evaluations with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields?
You know, right now in the early stages of team development, Russell's in pole position. I think his collective body of work merits that. But we're really excited to have Justin as well. And obviously during the course of team development, training camp in the preseason, he'll be given an opportunity to compete.
See, I'm so shook that I got it all wrong there. That was during the draft, and it was Reese Davis of ESPN talking to Mike Tomlin. But The point remains, I have thought this whole time Russell Wilson's absolutely 100% going to be the guy. After what we saw from Kenny Pickett in last preseason, he had a perfect passer rating, and I don't think they're going to let even Justin Fields going out there and dominating during preseason football move the needle for them. I also didn't think, and don't think, that Russell Wilson's going to go out there and struggle in training camp, OTAs, minicamp, or the preseason. But hearing Mike Tomlin there does have me now, for the first time, leaving open the possibility that they see a little bit more in Justin Fields. Like, the other reason why I didn't think it would be Justin Fields day one is because they didn't want him all offseason. Like, they had to wait until that price came down. They were going to have Russell, and they were going to have Kenny, until Kenny didn't want to be here, and then they pivoted to Justin Fields. Like, if you really thought that highly of Justin Fields, you would have paid more of a premium, I think, to get him earlier in the offseason. But just hearing Mike Tomlin there, pole position, but we're going to give him a chance to compete. I don't know, man. How'd you take that?
I take that as everybody gets an opportunity to compete. If you're one of the 90 guys on the roster going into training camp, everybody has an opportunity to compete at some type of level. I mean, I look at it myself. Like, I had an opportunity to compete. Like, that's what Gary Kubiak told me, but I was behind Andre Johnson. Hell no, I wasn't starting over Andre Johnson. But I had an opportunity to compete. Like, I think it's more of a situation like, yeah, he's going to get his opportunities. He's going to, you know, be able to run his plays and to show us that he belongs here, but that doesn't mean that he's going to have the opportunity to compete for a starting job.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the pole position discussion tells us that Russell Wilson, how else can he, you know, put Russell Wilson behind him?
What gives me pause is the pole position thing, and I know it's not the first time Tomlin said it this offseason. It's the first time, though, where I hear it the way it came out, and I go, oh, okay, like, you could have just said Russ is our starter. Like, that's if Russ was set in stone 100% going to be the guy, you just say, well, Russell Wilson's our starter. We really like what we have in Justin Fields. Justin is a capable backup. He's young. We really like what the future holds for Justin Fields. He didn't do that. He could have easily done that. Now, I think they want to win games right now. We go back to that urgency word that Art Rooney II has thrown out there. Like, pole position, he's going to be given the opportunity. But what if he does struggle? For the first time, I'm thinking, maybe. Now, there's more to this. If Justin Fields plays, what, over 50% of the snaps, the sixth-round pick you gave up for him will be a fourth-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
So you would pay a little bit more in terms of draft capital if he does play a majority of the games. I still think the most likely scenario is, if you're going to see Justin Fields, it would be because of an injury. But Mike Tomlin's not ruling it out. And it just pinged my meter. It got me thinking just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would, you know, service himself and the team better if he just anointed Russell Wilson the starter, which I think he's doing just in a different way, because you don't want to have that friction going back and forth. Not the friction in the room, but the friction of just people like, oh, is it Justin? Is it Russell? Like, okay, it should be Justin. It should be Russell. Like, if it's cut and dry, you're going to alleviate yourself from Justin Fields needs to be in. Or, you know, people saying, okay, Russell Wilson throws an interception. You know the whole deal. The backup quarterback's always the one that's always usually in pole position whenever the starter is a 50-50 starter, and then they go in there, they throw an interception, and everybody starts calling for Justin
Fields.
Most
popular guy, yeah.
So I think that you can do yourself a little bit better, but I think he's doing it in a different way of saying that Russell Wilson is the guy, and you don't have to put yourself in that position.
I do wonder a little bit if it's just they're working on some sort of extension for Justin Fields, and they want him to feel like he's got a chance to compete here.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to make him feel all warm and fuzzy. Hey, Justin, you know that Jordan Love deal? Let's try to work something out similar to that. Maybe we go a couple of years, $12 million. Well, Justin's going to want to think he's got an opportunity to compete this year. And maybe that's all that Mike Tomlin's doing there. What does this draft mean for the Steelers quarterback position? We'll talk about that coming up next.
Well, there's a certain style of play and intent we want, you know, that fits this team and the history here, the Steelers and the brand of football, and that shared vision. But, you know, every team I've been on, I mean, you want to have that, you want to win the line of scrimmage, but there's also, you're going to adapt to the strength of your team, and that's, a lot of times that's coach speak, but I would like to argue that I've done that at every stop I've been to. You try to play through the strengths of your team, but you certainly want to have, if you want to have a physical team and play with an edge, you need those guys up front.
If I were to assign a word to this Steelers draft, Doran, I think it would be athleticism. When you take the average of their spark scores and you compare it to the other drafts, the Steelers are right there at the top in terms of pure athleticism. The other word that I would use is bully.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Steelers want to bully people. Zach Frazier can be a bully. Troy Fautanu can be a bully. Roman Wilson is going to knock corners on their tuchus. That's the word I use for my daughter when I'm talking about bums, Doran.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got some hard-nosed dudes. Plus, you talk about Peyton Wilson. You talk about the guy, McCormick, from South Dakota State. You watch his film. You watch his YouTube clips for more than 15 seconds. You realize he's a bad dude. Yeah, they want to run the ball. They want to crush you on both lines of scrimmage, and they want to win with defense. But make no mistake, they're going to protect their quarterbacks too. And I think that's just as important here as running the ball down people's throats. When you consider that only two quarterbacks have 100 or more interceptions plus sacks the last 2 years, and they're both Pittsburgh Steelers, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields hold on to the football for a very long time.
It's about protecting and getting on the same page to protect, too. And, you know, with Zach Frazier being that starter, I think that everybody can get on the same page that he's going to walk in and start day one. I'm anxious to ask Neil Brown about the mental side of Zach Frazier. Like, can he be that quarterback of the offensive line, or is it more physical traits? But I obviously assume that you go in the second round and you're the second or third center off the board, that you have to have a little bit of everything. But can he be that guy, that general, to take the onus off of Russell Wilson or Justin Fields when need be? Mm-hmm. Now, Russell Wilson has seen a lot and he can handle a lot, but to be able to take just a little bit off of his plate will help out a lot.
Do you think it is a tougher jump from the senior year of high school to college football, or from college football to the pros?
Depending on the position.
Okay. Because he came in year one as a freshman, Zach Frazier did. Freshman All-American. And, you know, everyone was raving about him in camp. And he's going to start. And then he performed. And I thought that showed not only is he physically strong and tough enough, but he had the mental fortitude too. Be able to pick up the offense, do it on the fly, and then perform at a high level. That's what I'm expecting out of him year one here in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm expecting the same thing out of Troy Faltanu. I'm expecting him to come in, and no one's going to be a finished product,
right,
but I'm expecting him to come in and be good from day one. He was the best offensive lineman and the best offensive line in the country last year. I would play him at left, the more I've thought about it, too, by the way. Broderick Jones played right at a high level last year. Now, he went through his struggles, too. Like, if you look at the PFF grades, it's not like he was a world beater. But Troy Faltanu only played left tackle in college. Broderick Jones did the same, but then he played right tackle in the NFL. I don't want to move two things. I just want to move one. If they did it the other way, I'm not going to scream into the ether.
Right.
But, yeah, I would go with Faltanu at left.
I'm sure they'll do both.
They're going to probably mix and match, flip-flop
all
during training camp and just see how it works.
For sure. And either way, however it pans out, I think it's going to be a good decision.
Both guys, too, man. Zach Frazier, I got a hair on my tongue. Both Zach, I think I got it off the microphone.
Ooh.
That's disgusting. Yeah. Both Zach Frazier and Troy Faltanu were better pass blockers in college than they were even run blockers. And they jump off the screen whenever they're run blocking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that just tells you how good they were in their pass sets. Like, watching Zach Frazier, the video that you and I were talking about earlier against Texas.
Yeah. Byron Murphy,
those two big hosses in the middle. I mean, yeah, there were times where they had to double team him, but Frazier was taking them one-on-one a lot of the time. This Don Corian guy, or the dude from Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, the D-tackle, yeah.
He is a stud.
Mm-hmm.
He is a projected first-round pick for next year. I thought, okay, this will be a big test for Frazier. Frazier handled him largely this year. I mean, just my untrained offensive line eyes.
Yeah, if you could take the one-on-ones, I mean, mm-hmm. that's huge. It's huge that you don't have to double team, and then you could help out whenever the guards do need help. But if he could take one-on-ones and against bigger guys, it's not like, you know, you're going to face bigger guys in the NFL. Like, you're thinking, like, Zach Frazier's got to take on a guy like Cam Hayward. Like, that's, you know, there's a big disparity of size there, but he's shown in college that he could take on 340-pound defensive tackles that are athletic as hell, so he could probably transition to the NFL doing that.
Mm-hmm. You're going to find big guys in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's Power 5 Division 1 football, but they also played Penn State, and the running game was not the problem in that game, and Zach Frazier had a lot to do with that. They played against Texas, not this year, but the year prior. Zach Frazier was good. There was an NFL guy for Cincinnati we just talked about. Zach Frazier was good against him. And then the guys who weren't on that NFL level, he absolutely dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And then he played well at the Senior Bowl. So he interviewed well at the Senior Bowl, but he obviously wasn't there because of the injury. That's the other thing with him. Like, he's just a smart guy. The end of that Baylor game, breaks his leg, drags himself off the field to avoid the 10-second runoff. They go down the field and they win the football game. They got the total package in this guy and in Faltanu. And we haven't even really spent a lot of time today talking about Peyton Wilson, who they took with their second third-round pick. I know Landon Roberts is good, man, and I think he's going to be really good next to Patrick Queen. The idea of it being Patrick Queen and Peyton Wilson. Did I call him Peyton Hillis already?
No, Wilson.
See, Mark put it in my head.
You're good.
I think, for the next 4 years, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, man, but like athletically, you're not going to find a lot of better inside backer rooms than the Steelers are going to have.
Let Cole Holcomb get healthy, too.
Oh, man. And this guards against that a little bit, too. Yes. Like, if you don't know where he's going to be in the medical process and all that, you've got a guy that you think can come in and play. He's going to be a special teams demon.
Yes.
And you got that Nate Herbig, too. I mean, you can't say enough good. I know these guys haven't suited up yet, but the last two drafts, like, the proof's already in the pudding with Broderick Jones, Joey Porter Jr., Keanu Benton, Darnell Washington, and Nate Herbig. And now you add four guys. Caboli said he thinks three of them are going to start day one. He thinks Roman Wilson's going to start day one. And I started to pull apart some of Roman Wilson's game log stuff, Doran. He only had one 100-yard game this year. So that kind of is a flag for me. Like, he wasn't.
They ran the ball.
I know they did, and they hid their quarterback, which means you're going to hide the receiver. And that might be the best point on this. He averaged 18 yards a catch against Alabama and Washington in the two college football playoff games. He had 4 for 73 and a touchdown against Bama, and the touchdown was something. And against Washington, he had 3 catches for 54 yards and 18 yards per catch. So when we talk about what this draft class can mean for the quarterback, if it's Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, I think Roman Wilson's going to have a pretty nice year. I still want number two, but I think he can come in and have 500, 600 yards and probably help you out a little bit on special teams too. Coming up next, we'll continue looking at the Steelers draft class. What do you still think they need at 412-928-9370? At 9 o'clock, we're going to hear from North Carolina State defensive coordinator Tony Gibson. He'll give us the skinny on Peyton Wilson. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we're going to be joined by NC State defensive coordinator Tony Gibson. He's going to tell us a little bit about Peyton Wilson, the linebacker that the Steelers drafted with the 98th overall pick. And Tony used to be the defensive coordinator at West Virginia. He actually tried to recruit you to WVU.
That's correct.
And then you told him that you didn't want to, go into the 13th grade or something like that?
Yeah, I wanted to go to college, not 13th grade.
I think you showed that to me when I was over at your house watching the Chiefs-Dolphins game.
Yes, I did.
Your offer letter, because you never opened it, right?
No.
And his name was on it, Tony Gibson's, right?
So was Rich.
Rich Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those were great times until they weren't for West Virginia fans. We're pulling at that connection, though, today. I have a little bit of a relationship with Tony, so he was more than happy to jump on with us. He's going to be in the airport, though, and he boards his flight at 9:10. So we're going to get about 8 good minutes with Tony Gibson. Neil Brown, West Virginia's head football coach, going to join us at 9:35 to tell us about Zach Frazier and Beanie Bishop. Man, I am so excited for this Peyton Wilson pick. Like, I think they got an absolute steal there. And I'm not alone in this. Like, people have been texting us, man, you guys are really high on the draft. Well, yeah, like, this isn't Homer Radio. We are going to be critical when we feel the need to be critical. We always have been. That's why people are listening to the show, because they know we're going to tell it the way we see it.
Mm-hmm.
Consensus is the Steelers crushed this draft. I'm looking at Dane Brugler now from The Athletic. He's the guy that puts out that draft, the beast he calls it, the draft guide. He has the Steelers as the number two draft overall.
Who's one?
The Bears. Mm. Yeah. And I think that's fair. I mean, even their top two picks, Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. But he's got the Steelers at number two. He has Troy Faltanu listed as his favorite pick because he thinks they got him at good value. But he thinks Mason McCormick could really surprise. He thinks he's good enough to challenge for early playing time and could be the Steelers' starting right guard next year.
I do too. And I think that would be smart. Like, if he does come out gangbusters. See, like, there's a difference between preseason, I think, with offensive line and then obviously quarterback. You can't really win a job. We saw that last year with Kenny. You don't want to put too much in to preseason with quarterbacks. It's harder to win a job whenever you're competing with somebody at quarterback. But I feel like offensive line, like, you could, day in and day out, you could tell if a guy's going to be a stud.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see if you do, and he does beat out, say, James Daniel, and he is a starter, you can see the foundation of Zach Frazier, Mason McCormick at guard, them working together for 6 years and having Broderick Jones and Faltano on the other side, them working together for a long time. Like, you could have this offensive line together for a long time if that were the case, and I would be on board with that.
I don't think they're going to do it this year because I don't think they're going to start three rookies on the O-line.
I mean, if they're
going to start two, I think. I don't think they'll do three. But I do think next 2025, when we're sitting here talking about the offensive line, I'd almost guarantee you, if he stays healthy, McCormick's your right guard. Because it was already mentioned in the Steelers post-draft press conference about the expiring contracts they have. Dan Moore Jr.'s expires at the end of this year, as does James Daniels. Just so you know, Dane Brugler has the Ravens with the 12th best draft. So the Steelers were 2, the Ravens 12. Usually the Ravens are always in the top 5. For years and years and years, spanning now a couple of general managers, you slide down. I'm still not seeing the Cleveland Browns, and I'm still not seeing the Cincinnati Bengals.
They had like one pick.
I know. I mean, they didn't have the first round pick. He's got the Cleveland Browns 30th, and I can't find the Bengals, but I'll find it for you later. Coming up next, Tony Gibson, the defensive coordinator of NC State, going to join us to talk about Peyton Wilson. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here. So are the deals at Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com. Today, high 83.